Hey, this is Amanda. I am coming to you after recording and before publishing because this episode is a little bit different. Maybe feels a little chaotic to me. It's not a scripted, researched episode, and I am not interviewing anyone. I am just sharing with you my experience, my lived experience with ADHD. And so the ending is a little weird. And this is a little weird too, because my ADHD brain is just a wild place to be. I hope that this gives you a little peek inside what is going on for someone with ADHD. Enjoy. Hi, this is Amanda Dolan, and welcome back to the Mental Society. I'm so excited that you are here to join me today. My plan is to talk to you a little bit about ADHD and my personal journey, and why I think it's important that we talk about it, and kind of also how this diagnosis has helped me, explained a lot about kind of why I am the way I am. I feel like that kind of sounds kind of silly, but I wasn't diagnosed until my early 40s, I guess, which is late, late. And it makes me frustrated sometimes because I'm like, holy moly, what could I have gotten done if I had known that some of this was a thing for me? You know, I think that women, girls in particular, especially of my generation, we got missed, if you will, because I was that kid that I got good grades. I was, well-behaved. And by well-behaved, I mean quiet and sitting relatively still. Now, was I present at school most of the time? Physically, yes. I would say that half the time I was just off in space thinking about who knows what, but daydreaming. I thought for the longest time, this is fine, that everyone made up these elaborate stories and daydreams and had whole conversations with other people in their heads while they were sitting listening to a teacher talk or even watching television. I now know that that's not exactly normal to have this constant thing going on in your head, but that was my reality. And here's the thing is because I was quiet and I got good grades, no one paid attention to any of that stuff. I had the, she's not working up to her potential. I had the, holy crap, I have a 5-page paper due tomorrow. And then it's okay, well, it's 6 o'clock now. It's going to take me an hour to do the research. And then it takes me about 20 minutes to write each page. So if it's 6 o'clock now and I want to go to bed at midnight, then, and I am this master at this scheduling my time, but in this last minute, I don't know how else to describe it, procrastination. But it's I didn't know how to get started. And unless it felt like it was an emergency, unless there was that pressure, I didn't get it done. And that got in my way in so many different ways for so long. I just thought it was the way that I was. I just thought that I didn't know how to prioritize anything. I thought that I was, as my mother told me often, I was lazy. And, I think I'm going to kind of pause here for a second. I think that I read somewhere that children with ADHD hear 20,000 or something even more than that, negative comments about themselves by the time that they're 18, from teachers, from parents. Now think about that. If every day you are hearing you are lazy, you're not working hard enough, why can't you do that thing? It starts to affect how you feel about yourself. And even when I was in graduate school, I one of my first classes, I was doodling in the margins because for me, when I focus on one thing, like doodling, it helps me focus on what else is around me, especially a lecture or something like that. And I remember my professor coming up to me and being like, "It's really disrespectful of you to doodle in my class." I was like, "This is how I focus." But of course, I didn't know that that was like what the reason was. And then after the first test, she was like, "Oh, yeah, never mind. You got a, I think I got like 94 or something." And it was because the doodling truly helped me focus. And that's kind of, I think, in some ways, like you might hear people with ADHD talk about like their like hyper focus mode or like how they get fixated on something. And I think it's kind of that same thing. I like it's I but once I get something in my brain, I cannot let it go. I am that person that I struggle watching movies in movie theaters now that I have a phone that has internet access because I'll be like, "Oh, what was that person in?" Because I recognize them, I've got to figure that out. And so, even when I'm watching television or movies, whatever, I'll be like, "Oh, what was that person in?" And then immediately I need to figure out who that is, where they were, all of those things. And it means that all of a sudden, then I am disconnected from where I am in that moment. And quite frankly, I can spend anywhere from 5 minutes to 5 hours on something. And if I don't give myself time limits for things and also deadlines, they don't get done. Like this recording, I basically had to like say, "Hey, hold me accountable." And then it was also like a, "Okay, I'm doing it right now. Like, I can't wait because if I wait, it's not going to get done." And it's not that I don't want to get it done. It's not that I'm not capable of doing all of these things. And that is where those like messages came in, like, "Oh, you're lazy because you can't do this thing or you didn't get this thing done." And there are times where I'll be like, "Do you know how much I want to do the thing? I want to do the thing, but I can't do the thing. And the thing is stressing me out. And the thing may only take 5 minutes, but I stress about it for 5 weeks." And like a great example of this happened this week where I took my car in to get fixed, which doing something that simple by itself is hard for me. I know so many people out there are like, "Check engine light came on my car. I'm going to take it in." That truly like brings me anxiety because I think that then I've done something wrong. Like my car is broken because I screwed something up. Well, I take it in. It was a relatively easy fix, but it was a really expensive fix. And I did some research. Actually, my kid did some research and found that there was a class action lawsuit about this. And I sent an email to the attorney's office that was in charge of that and then got a response. The response was essentially like, "Yeah." And Subaru said that they were going to reimburse or not charge for this repair. I was like, "But I got charged for this repair. And it's an expensive repair." So I end up talking to my friend and I am talking about this for a solid 20 minutes, maybe longer. And in that 20 minutes, I could have called Subaru and like at least like fixed part of the problem. But no, I had to like talk and talk and talk about it. And I got in that like fixation place. And then I was like, "I have to call Subaru now." My friend was like, do you really?" I was like, "Yep, I do. Because if I don't, I'm going to be thinking about this for I don't know how long, maybe for the next 5 weeks until I actually like, decide to do it. Or when I get my credit card statement, it's like, oh my gosh, this like huge charge is here and it was supposed to be paid for. So I called and dealt with it. I mean, nothing got resolved in that phone call specifically, but making that call, it's almost like it took it out of my brain. I was able to put it on the shelf. I know that like I did my part for now, but even that makes me anxious because I don't want someone to think that I'm mad at them or that I don't like them. And at the same time, if you look at me funny or you breathe funny, I think you're mad at me. Why are you mad at me? What did you do? Like, what did I do? And that's like, that's called rejection sensitivity dysphoria, which is really common in people with ADHD. And it is truly that, like, I assume people are mad at me for, quite frankly, no good reason. I mean, truly, like, you can breathe wrong, and I think you are angry at me. And that sounds ridiculous, but it is the truth. And what that does is it gets in the way of my relationships often, because I start to shut down, because ADHD isn't, is it? It's so much more than like that little kid running around all over the place at school. Like that hyperactivity, we misunderstand what that is. It's not necessarily a physical hyperactivity. It is your brain is hyperactive. So how that can get in the way of my relationships, which again, like that rejection thing where I assume you're mad at me and I'll ask you over and over again, what's wrong? And people get tired of it. They're like, oh my God, I have told you 800 times. I'm not mad at you and nothing is wrong, but I don't believe you. And also another way that this really impacts relationships are things like I get distracted easily. I mean, it's the, okay, I want to focus on what you're saying, but you're talking and all of a sudden you said something, something red. And then all of a sudden I'm like, Taylor Swift's Red album. Oh, this song. And all of a sudden I'm no longer paying attention to you, but it's not that I'm not paying attention to you. It's that my brain heard a word and it went somewhere else. But also I overshare. Clearly, I have no problem talking about all of my stuff. And part of that oversharing can make people uncomfortable. It can mean I struggle with some boundaries. I often interrupt, not because I'm being rude, but because I'm excited to tell you the thing and I don't want to forget the thing. Because if I forget the thing, then I will remember later that there was something I wanted to tell that person, but I don't remember what it was. And now my brain is on the hamster wheel again, trying to remember the thing that I wanted to tell that person in the middle of that conversation. And I also tell a lot of stories when people tell me stories. And it can be viewed, I think, sometimes as that like one-upmanship kind of thing, like that, oh, you did this, but like I had this and it was bigger. And that's not it. It is me wanting to say, hey, look, I get you because I have had a similar experience. It's not. It is truly not. I think that my thing is worse than yours or better than yours. It is, I want to connect with you because I struggle with those connections a lot. And I don't want to like make people feel like I don't care, that they're not important. And yet I worry that I do that so often when I am, yeah, like telling my story or interrupting. I often also feel like, oh, I'm talking too much, or man, like this person is going to be, you know, never want to be my friend or talk to me because I overshare or I talk too much, whatever, all of those things. So like, those are some of the like really big ways that ADHD kind of gets in my way. It's I procrastinate. I put things off that are likely easy to do, and then I stress myself out. And then I tell myself that story of you're lazy, you can't get things done. And then I beat myself up even more. And I sit in this like icky, stuck place. And ADHD is really, there's a lot of emotional dysregulation that goes along with ADHD. So when I'm stressed about something, I will lose my temper. I will be short with people. I may even avoid people completely, which, which is like a piece of relationships as well, because there's this object permanence idea where if you are not in front of me or something is not in front of me, I will forget about it. So that may mean that you won't hear from me for 6 months. Not because I don't love you, not because I want to avoid you, I'm not ignoring you. It is, if you are not right there in front of me, you don't exist, not in a mean way, just in a, I don't see you, so therefore, like, you must not be there. And I hate that because, again, it affects my relationships. And let me tell you this, though, when I tell people that this, you know, I'm not ignoring you, or I replied to you in my head, but then like I didn't, and then it was gone, I worry that it's an excuse and that people are going to be like, she's just making excuses for ignoring me. She's making excuses for why she didn't get this thing done. And I don't know that it's an excuse as much as a reason. And I was thinking about this today, actually, where when I was typing some stuff, some notes, and thinking about like using ADHD as an excuse. But it's like, if, you know, I don't know, if I had a broken leg and somebody was like, I need you to run a mile. And I was like, I can't run a mile because my leg's broken. Is that really an excuse or is that a reason, like a legitimate physical thing happening? And so I don't ever want people to think that I am using ADHD as an excuse, like get over it. I didn't get this done. Because let me tell you, I'm beating myself up about it. But the reality is that ADHD gets in my way. And again, I'm going to go back to like, I didn't know that this was a thing for so long. If you've listened to this, if you've listened to me before, you know that it took me quite literally 21 years from my first interaction with a psychiatrist to getting diagnosed with bipolar. Bipolar and ADHD have a lot of overlap in symptoms, and there's also a really high comorbidity. I may later talk about how I also think that trauma plays a role in all of that. That's more than I want to talk about today because it's another rabbit hole that I can get sucked into. But even after getting my bipolar diagnosis and doing research and seeing things, I thought I have ADHD. And I didn't want to talk to my psychiatrist about it. Sounds crazy, maybe, but I've had so many mom friends over the years who made sure that their kid got diagnosed with ADHD so that they could take their Ritalin or Adderall or whatever it was so that they could get more done. And I saw in college people using ADHD meds to stay up. And so I thought if I go and say, I have ADHD, or do you think I do? I was worried that I was going to be blown off. Now, probably should have realized that this psychiatrist is one that, like, he trusts me, we talk. But again, maybe that's a little bit of that rejection sensitivity stuff, because I don't want him to think that I am faking it. I don't want him to think that I am using him or that I'm trying to get something that I don't need. And like with like all of that, I still struggle. Like when I first got diagnosed, I needed a higher dose of medication than what I thought was a normal dose. Now it's still well within like the normal range. But again, I worried that my psychiatrist was going to say, no, that's too high of a dose. Or why do you need that much? Are you selling it? Why do you need that much? Are you overusing it? And the reality is, no, I'm not. And later, you know, over the next few weeks, I'm going to talk a little bit more about like ADHD medication, what's going on right now in the United States about a shortage that's happening. And that means that I am like on top of it every 28 days. I get my prescription filled. Let me tell you, I do take breaks like on the weekends. I don't necessarily take as high a dose as I normally do. In part because I'm afraid to not have my medicine for the days that I really need to be focused and to be present. And that makes me mad that like I have to ration my medication for the just in case, except I have a job where I need to be focused and I need to be present, which means that if it's a day where I am doing chores, then maybe I'm not going to take that. But also, ADHD is an executive function thing. And for those of you who don't know, like executive function, it are those normal tasks that most people do without thought. It's everything from doing your laundry and brushing your teeth to returning emails, making phone calls. Like it's the everyday thing that most people don't think twice about. And yet I struggle with those things. So I need my medication. And even on the days that I'm like, I'm not going to take it because I want to save it, that means I might not get all of the chores done. Or it might mean that I don't get everything, you know, done the right way. I'm using quotation marks here, you know, because it's not as good as or whatever. And then guess what? Goes back to those stories of you're lazy, you're not good enough, you can't do things. So like, let me share a few of the, here's how I try to mitigate my symptoms and my ADHD. And these are things that I think a lot of people out there with ADHD will totally understand. So a couple of things. Calendars. Everything goes on a calendar. Everything. Whether it's I need to make a phone call to someone, I have an appointment. Taking my Adderall is on my calendar. And I get a pop-up notification to remind me to take my medicine, which is so funny that I need a reminder to take my medicine that will help me stay focused so that I can remember to do things. It's funny to me. But I also do timers and alarms and other reminders. And I ask people to help keep me accountable. And I hate sometimes that I need all of those things. But that's what like helps keep me on track and makes me feel like I'm a better friend, a better, you know, coach to my clients, a better mom. But it doesn't always work. And then guess what? I feel like I'm letting people down. And then I worry that people are mad at me. And then I tell stories about myself. And then I start to beat myself up again. And so I don't know if you can tell or hear this, but ADHD is not just about my struggle in getting things done. It's not just about having a hard time focusing or having squirrel moments. It really impacts my relationships and my relationship with myself and the stories that I tell myself. And that doesn't make me feel good. It doesn't. And I think that it means sometimes I get in my own way, like recording this. I didn't record it. And then I felt like, oh, I made promises to people, you all listeners included, that I was going to be here. And then I didn't. And then my voice got wonky. And then I got, you know, a million other things going on. And so I just didn't do it. And I didn't do it. And then it got to this, you're a failure. You can't do anything. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say because, like, clearly, like, you can't do the thing. So why would anyone want to hear anything you have to say? But this is like real life ADHD stuff. And it's not an excuse. It's not, it is my life. It is how I exist in this world. And I'm not going to apologize for it. I say that. I'm going to try not to apologize for it as much. But I'm still going to, because I'm going to assume you're mad at me. And so I'm going to apologize. I'm going to bump into the table and apologize, which, by the way, that's another ADHD thing. Like, you don't know like where objects are. And so you bump into them. So I always have bruises. People are like, where did you get that giant bruise? I don't know. The other day I was with my partner, and he and I were outside, and one of our dogs ran into me hard. The dogs were playing, and I looked at him and I'm like, I'm going to have a bruise on my leg. Remind me that, like, that's where that bruise came from later. And sure enough, the next day there was a bruise, and I looked at him and I was like, why do I have a giant bruise on my leg? And he was like, because Jade ran into you. And I was like, oh, that's right. So it's not just I run into things, but I totally forget. Also, people with ADHD tend to have a higher pain tolerance. Like, there's all these crazy, wild things that go along with ADHD that people don't realize, like hypermobility in your joints. Like I said, lack of kind of spatial awareness. So you run into door frames and tables, and I mean, it feels silly, but it, again, not an excuse. This is well-documented stuff. And so if you start thinking about, I tell myself stories that I'm lazy, and then I start to procrastinate. So guess what? It goes back to the I'm lazy. And then I worry that because I've procrastinated and not gotten something done, I worry that somebody's going to be mad at me. And then that rejection sensitivity kicks in. And so now I am convinced that this person is mad at me. So I'm telling myself stories that I am not good enough because this person doesn't like me and I can't get this thing done. But guess what? Like 99% of the time, those people aren't mad at me. Those people don't, I don't want to say they don't care, because these people care about me, but they're like, okay, so you forgot to respond to my text. Like, I'm used to that now. But, you know, all of these things, like, they pile on and pile on until I get just overwhelmed. And like, while I'm sitting here, like, I can feel like tears come up because I'm about to apologize for having emotions. I don't want to hurt people. I don't want to let people down. And I don't want people to think that I'm making excuses, because that's how it feels. And I feel like I want to be like, this is where that emotional dysregulation, you know, comes in right now in this moment where I'm crying. But it's really real to me. Like, I want to be the best version of myself. And so what that means is I'm learning I have to be really open and honest with people about how my ADHD impacts me and therefore impacts those people that are important. And that can be really scary. And it can be really vulnerable. And it can cause incredible burnout for me. And then I beat myself up because I should be able to get these things done. I'm smart, I'm capable. But not always the way I want to be. And I'm learning that it has to be okay. I'm learning that perfection is getting in my way because I don't want to do it unless it's perfect, which I think is another like ADHD thing, but it might also be a trauma thing. And it might also be a stories that I was told growing up thing. But what I know is that ADHD gets in my way. And what I know is that ADHD gets in a lot of people's way. And that people with ADHD aren't trying to ignore you. They're not doing it on purpose. They're not turning in that assignment late. They're not returning your email. They're not paying their bills late on purpose. I could have all the money in the world and I might still forget to pay a bill, which is why every dang bill I can possibly put on autopay is on autopay. It is why I have all of those timers and alarms and things happening in my calendar. And so I don't even, this is where ADHD comes in. I don't know where I was going with that, but I think I'm just going to, like, clearly I've said all I need to say if I'm coming back around and around to the same points, which is an ADHD thing and not an excuse. It's just, it is. So, yeah, thank you for letting me just talk about all of these things. And I hope that if you have someone with ADHD in your life, that this gives you a little more clarity and understanding of who they are and how they truly aren't doing anything to hurt you or to make you feel unloved. And if you have ADHD, I hope this makes you feel less alone. I hope that you hear some of yourself in me and my story so that, like, you're like, oh, well, that's true for someone else. So I guess that, like, that's a normal-ish for ADHD, whatever is normal. I mean, normal is a setting on the washing machine. It's not like real life, but you're not alone in this. There's a lot of us out there. And so for all of like my ADHD people who, I don't know, have like 700 screenshots of the things that they're going to come back to later to help them, you know, regulate their ADHD and tips and tricks. Like I do too. I have a ridiculous number of screenshots. I have a ridiculous number of notes. And those are normal things. And like, I'm still rambling. So with all of that, you are not alone. And your struggles. Hope and help is all around you. And thank you so much for being here. Until next time, this is Amanda Dolan wishing you good health, mental and otherwise.